Ever since the government unveiled its healthcare.gov website, the headlines surrounding the Affordable Care Act have been about the problems with the way the site was designed and the extreme difficulty Americans have had in getting on the exchange to shop for health insurance. But what about the Americans who don't want anything to do with healthcare.gov, the ones who already have plans? Some 14 million consumers buy their own insurance individually. And to those consumers, President Obama has been saying this since 2009.
If you like your current insurance, you will keep your current insurance. No government takeover. Nobody's changing what you've got if you're happy with it.
So why then are some 2 million Americans, about 140,000 here in Michigan, getting cancellation letters from their insurers over the past couple of weeks? And that number could swell. Some estimates predict 50 to 75% can expect a cancellation letter or something similar over the next year. Joining us is Marianne Udow Phillips. She directs the Center for Healthcare Research and Transformation. It's a nonprofit partnership between the University of Michigan and Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. Marianne, welcome back to the program.
Great to be here, Cindy.
So when the president and his team insisted, as we just heard, if you like your plan, you can keep your plan, how does all of that fit with these cancellation letters that have started going out?
Yeah, you know, that was probably not the best thing to say, because I think what he was trying to do was give more of a global picture of what's happening in the Affordable Care Act. And in many ways, he was really speaking to sort of the distribution of how we get health coverage and finance it in the country, not whether you actually can keep your specific plan or not. So I think he was really talking about, well, most people who get their coverage through employers will continue to get it through employers. People who get Medicare will continue to get Medicare. I think he really should have said something more general like that rather than you can keep your specific plan.
So it was kind of a marketing faux pas, if you will.
I think that's probably a very good way to put it, yes.
Well, we're hearing from people whose health insurance is being canceled. I'll just serve up one example I know very well, because I had a long conversation over the weekend about this with someone that I know extremely well, that she and her husband own a small business. She works for his company, and they've been able to get group coverage. So for that, they were paying about $1,200 a month. And then a couple of weeks ago came a letter that said, because you are married under the ACA, you're no longer eligible for group health coverage. You have to choose an individual plan. And the plan being offered would boost their annual deductible from $3,000 to $12,000. Coverage is reduced, and the monthly premium would be $1,700. Now, this couple's been married for 40 years, but they are exploring the possibility of getting a divorce in order to keep their plan and keep their health care coverage down. Seriously exploring this. And as she writes, so much for if you like your plan, you can keep your plan. Is it not easy to understand why these people feel that they were really dealt a bum hand?
Oh, my goodness, that's terrible. I hope they don't get a divorce over this issue. And I hope that there are reasonable alternatives for them that give them choices. You know, some of what is happening with the health plans has to do with individuals who have coverage and health plans there had a choice on whether to amend their coverage to be consistent with the Affordable Care Act or to cancel it and give them new coverage. That's what most people are experiencing. Mm-hmm. There are some changing rules in terms of who is considered to be a group and who's not considered to be a group. And those are to some degree what the insurers are doing themselves and not always a direct effect of the Affordable Care Act itself.
What about, Marianne, employers pushing workers off their plans and onto the exchange because it's cheaper for the companies? And now people are forced, they're happy with their plans, but now they have to go shopping on an exchange no one trusts because it hasn't worked.
Yes, yes. So you're right. There are a lot of employers that are looking at that option. I, in fact, last night was talking to an employer under size 50. He offers health insurance coverage today, and he is thinking about no longer offering it. He has actually a pretty young workforce, and their rates were going to go up quite a lot. And he figured out that he could provide his employees with funding to buy coverage on the health insurance exchange, and it would cost the company less to do that. And because he's under size 50, he's not required to offer coverage. Mm. And it would also actually benefit the employees because they would actually get coverage for less. So in his case, it actually might work out to benefit everybody. But there are employers that are looking at all of these different options. They're trying to figure out what is best. And we've heard from a number of employers that they are seeing some relatively large rate increases in 2014 that are a result of a variety of things, some of which are provisions in the Affordable Care Act, and some of them are sort of independent of the Affordable Care Act.
I'm speaking with Marianne Udo-Phillips, who directs the Center for Healthcare Research and Transformation. It's a nonprofit partnership between the University of Michigan and Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. And we're looking at the growing national story of people receiving letters canceling their private insurance, the insurance that they are paying for themselves, and being told, well, you have to go to the marketplace, the exchanges. And so here's what I think we're seeing here, Marianne. You have people that, you know, have been doing the responsible thing. They've been setting aside money to pay for their health coverage. They have plans they are totally happy with, and now they're being told, sorry, your plan is no longer available. And you know that $228 monthly premium you've been paying? That comparable plan on the exchange is going to cost you over $1,200 a month. The deductible's higher, and no, you don't qualify for tax credits to help pay for that higher cost. Are these Americans, do you think, being used as collateral damage?
Oh, you know, I really don't think that would be the way to describe what's happening here. And I think there's really a mix of things that are happening, and it's probably too early to be able to see the full effects yet. The most of the people who are getting the canceled policies now, as I said, are people in the individual market. They're people mm-hmm. who buy the coverage themselves. And there are about 350,000 of those individuals in Michigan. So that's about the population that we're talking about here in our state. We did a survey of that population at our center last year and found out that that group, independent of the Affordable Care Act, was the most dissatisfied with their coverage today. They had the lowest rates of satisfaction of anybody with any type of coverage, much lower than people with Medicaid, Medicare, or employer-sponsored coverage. And part of the reason that they're very unhappy with their coverage today is because they have very high deductibles, very high copays, and they are paying a lot themselves. And if you're sick, it's particularly hard to get affordable coverage. So the Affordable Care Act was designed to help people like that. The coverage is broader, generally, on the Affordable Care Act exchange because it includes preventive benefits and without copays that many people have not had historically. There can be higher deductibles and copays, and it's certainly true that some people will see higher premiums than they've been paying, but some people will see lower premiums than they've been paying. And so I think we're going to have to wait a little bit to see how it all sorts out.
I'm wondering your thoughts. You're going to be having an upcoming symposium on communication of the Affordable Care Act. Are we seeing some of this confusion and mishmash because the White House and its team really haven't done a clear job of communicating the ACA?
Well, I certainly think there has not been a good job of communicating the ACA, and that's been going on for quite some time. I also think it's a very complicated law. And, you know, what this law is trying to do is try to keep a lot of the structures in place in ways that we currently finance healthcare. So, and it's a complicated system. We've got employer-sponsored coverage, individual coverage, Medicare, Medicaid, et cetera. And that makes it all extremely complicated. And there are all of these variable effects under this law. So some people get subsidies, some people won't. Some people will see lower premiums. Some people see higher premiums. So it's extremely hard to sort of characterize it in a really simple, clear way.
And then you mix in this big mess with the exchange that I think probably a high school IT class would be embarrassed at
yes.
the way that thing launched.
Yes, absolutely. It has not launched well, and that's really unfortunate. And, you know, it's caused a lot of people to have more questions and more concerns and doubts about whether this will work. I still think they're going to get that fixed. We have checked with the, you know, state to find out what kinds of questions people are you know, calling the state with. And actually quite a few people have gotten through the process to at least find out if they can get subsidies. We heard from our state that there were 130,000 Michigan citizens who have been able to get through at least to get that information. So that's good. So we think it's going to be fixed, but it certainly has not launched well.
Well, the Center for Healthcare Research is holding a free symposium. It's the communication of the Affordable Care Act. It's November 4th from 1 to 5 p.m. at the Michigan League Ballroom. What are you going to be covering, Marianne?
Well, we're hoping to hear from policy leaders from all different perspectives looking at the Affordable Care Act and answering this question of how has it been communicated? Has it been clearly explained? Has it been mischaracterized in some of the, you know, political debates about this law? And then we're going to hear from some of the health reporters who have been covering this for years, who are going to talk also about what's the media's role and how can we do better at clearly communicating to really help people understand this law.
Well, the symposium is free. It is open to the public. No online registration. Just come and bring your questions. Mary Ann Udall-Phillips, always a pleasure talking with you.
And you too, Cindy.
Mary Ann Udall-Phillips directs the Center for Healthcare Research and Transformation.